Everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome, awesome, awesome. You know, Sarah has a wonderful gift of going back and forth with Rachel. They just always find out or create new nicknames for each other. And I don't know, that one might stick. Sarah, great job, you and the ladies. Phenomenal job sharing, continuing to be able to see the ladies' ministry within Bridge City Church grow is so exciting. You know, the Band of Brothers conference that we've had for years, and that's our men's ministry, outgrew our facilities, and we shifted off, and now there's two, and now it's at Indiana State. And we'll have another event here, a small event coming up in November for the men's ministry, but the ladies' ministry has started to far outgrow so much of the men's. It's been phenomenal to witness, and I'm just so thankful for it. But get signed up today for Overflow. Listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. I'll never stop saying it. I'm so excited that you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us worshiping God, and there's no place that I'd rather be than doing just that, this side of heaven, obviously. But let's pray. Father God, I thank you for what you've done already. I thank you for what you're going to do. And Lord, I thank you for the words that you spoke during the first worship experience, and I thank you for what you're going to do with those words, and God, for how you're going to lead us not only in this place, but outside of this place today, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Listen, during worship, one of my favorite things is just to be able to worship throughout the room. You know, I feel bad for some people that get landlocked, and you're like stuck in the middle, and maybe you like it, I don't know, but I like to move. I like to move around, and I usually, you know, hear God or see things that God's doing during worship as I'm moving around. And during the first worship experience, I was coming down the center row, and Pastor Larry stopped me. He said, one of the prophetic utterances that we heard during prayer this morning is that people were going to be set free from chains today. The chains were going to be broken. And as I was worshiping during the first worship experience, I was right in the front row, and I closed my eyes, and I saw somebody bound with chains. And usually there's a fight. Whenever you're trying to break free from something, you're trying to wrestle free from it, and there needs to be a fight. There needs to be a struggle, if you will. And all I saw was a key going up to a lock that was holding the chains together, and it was turned, and the chains fell. There was no struggle. There was no pain. There was no might that was taken. It was a key. It was turned. And there was freedom. So I don't know who here feels bound by something. Who here needs free from something that is locking them up? But I believe that Jesus has the key for you today. And I am not going to hide from this fact. Everything that we speak about today and lead towards is leading towards prayer at the end of our worship experience. We are going to have prayer. We have people that have been praying for you all week. We have people that have been believing for what God has to give to you during prayer. And we're going to be believing that we're going to be led not only in this place, but out of this place by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to walk in that power. And I'm believing that we're going to lead to that portion. I'm also believing that God's going to shorten the message for me that is well over 40-some minutes and condense it like he did during the first. And he's going to speak everything that he needs spoken. Amen? Here we go. The Great Commission. Let's read it. We've heard this before. At least maybe we heard this statement, but we may not understand what it means. It's who we are and how we get to walk things out. Let's read it. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given to you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. We're going to focus on that word obey. What does it mean? It means to properly maintain, to preserve, to spiritually guard, and to keep intact. So, everything that we receive here is not just for us to receive and hold on to, it's for us to take and put into action. Obedience is faith in action. We're to properly maintain and then preserve, spiritually guard, keep intact, and then push it forward. Whenever you're walking in obedience, other people see it. They take heed of it. They acknowledge it. They notice it. It's amazing to be able to see whenever your obedience not only affects you, your family, your friends, but the other people around you. It's amazing that whenever you pray a simple prayer, that you get to see it walked out. Kevin alluded to me praying Luke 2:52 over my son every single day. May he grow in wisdom and favor and stature before God and man. And at the end, he said, amen, Daddy.
I didn't say that.
He did, not Kevin. My son says it every day. Okay? I don't call Kevin. It's... So, I pray those things over Lennon. I speak those things over Lennon. He started playing hockey yesterday, and he has his first coach. He has his first coach, and his coach told him to not lift his stick. And that stick did not come off the rink. And at one point, I was like, buddy, you're allowed to lift it to run. Like, I wanted to tell him. But he was so obedient. He said, stand there. And Rachel was like, Nick, you got to talk to him, babe. Like, I'm going to be one of those moms. Like, run, go, run. If you don't tell him, he could chase the ball. But when you pray for something over and over and over and over and over and over again, you will begin to see the fruit of it, not only in your life, but in the lives of others. Obedience is something that is a gift for us to walk out. And Jesus planned not only for our obedience to impact us or you or me, but to impact the world, your world. So what does that require? There's obviously requirements to every single step of our faith. Jesus' master plan to reach the world requires people who have these three things. They've consecrated themselves to walk in obedience. We're going to take that statement and unpack it. They've counted the cost. We're going to unpack that statement. And they've conceded their lives to the Holy Spirit. Those three things, requirements that Jesus has placed upon his people that are going to follow him with the plan of reaching their world. If we walk in these three things, it's powerful. And you can just sit back and watch what happens and stand in awe of him all the days of your life. You know, it's not just a song. That's scripture you were singing. That's Acts 2 stuff. They saw miracles happen after they followed the teacher and the teaching. They gathered in homes. They broke bread together. They prayed together. We'll get to more of that. And after all those things, they stood in awe of everything that God did. So what does it mean to be consecrated? What does consecration mean? It's the process of making or becoming holy. Set apart from the world, set apart for God, and to walk in obedience. Obedience is faith in action. You're set apart from something, and you're set into what God has for you. A lot of you have been set into new positions at your job, or set into a position in school, or set into a position in band or chorus, or set into a position in football or hockey or baseball. You earned that position. It wasn't just given to you. The position you've been set in as a son or daughter of Christ will continue to be built upon based upon your obedience level, your faith in Him. You're set apart from what? Your world. You're set apart from the things that you used to do, that you used to be a part of. Want to take a next level in your obedience? Maybe you need to set some things aside. Well, I don't know if I have to do that. Change your perspective. You get to. I get to put these things aside because I'm set apart to make a difference for the kingdom. I get to put the way that I used to speak aside because now I'm set apart for the kingdom. I get to not hang out in those same situations with those same people doing the same thing that's not leading to anything good. I get to not participate in gossip or discord. I get to not participate in those things any longer because I'm set apart. I get to not jump on the social media bandwagon and posting negative comments about this, that, or the third because I'm set apart. The more obedient you become to Jesus and to the kingdom, you'll be amazed that eventually you'll get led back into some of those worlds and your life will be able to draw some of those people back out. It's amazing what God does. The conditions of a disciple to be consecrated, it's really simple. You have the Word of God evident in your life. You spend time with Him. You spend time with others. And after those two things are completed, you walk out the will of God. You spend time with Him. You spend time with His people. And then together you walk out the will that He has for you all. For us. Connection groups are not just a good idea. It's God's idea. It's not just something we want you to be a part of. It's something He is leading us to. Every single semester that we kick off groups, it amazes me how God reveals this is His plan and purpose. What is a group? A group of friends that get together, read the Bible, pray, and help one another take their next step in their relationship with God. I don't know about you, but that sounds like the three conditions of a disciple to be consecrated: the Word of God, spend time with others, and walk in the will of God together. That sounds like John 8, John 13, and John 14 to me. Sounds simple. But yet so complicated all at the same time. You start this consecration process. You start to become more like Jesus. You start to walk in obedience a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And then you realize, wow, this is starting to cost me some things. And then you start counting the cost. And then you have to start going through your mind, and am I willing to pay? Am I willing to pay the cost that is being asked of me? The early disciples did the same thing. The early followers of Jesus did the same thing. Let's look at a story here, counting the cost. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your own soul? It sounds counterintuitive to our minds to give up everything so that we can gain everything. But that's all Jesus is asking for. He's just asking for everything, not much. People are like, I can't believe that Jesus says, give 10%. Well, let's go with the New Testament. Give up everything. Lay down all your stuff at the cross. Allow for him to carry the burdens. Then follow him as he takes it with you. Let's look at another story of counting the cost. We're going to look at Luke 9, 57 through 62. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head. Listen, following Jesus will not be easy. And emotional enthusiasm will not be enough to get you through. It won't be. This is why I believe that so many people don't go from being a fan of Jesus to a follower of Jesus, because they can't get past chasing that emotional experience that they had with him and truly being fed spiritually day in and day out by spending time in his word, spending time with him, and spending time with his people, and spending time walking out the will of God. Enthusiasm will not get you through. You can't fake it till you make it in the kingdom. You need him to lead you, and you need his Holy Spirit to give you the power and strength to walk through every single day. And when you count the cost, you don't need emotions to lead you. He will lead you. Let's keep going. He said to another person, come follow me. And the man agreed. But he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. Listen, procrastination is unacceptable in the eyes of Jesus, and Jesus expects simple and immediate obedience. This might sound harsh, like, well, wait a second. This dude just wants to, like, go bury his dad. Let what's going to happen or has happened not pull you away from what Jesus has planned to happen in your life. You can't change the inevitable or what's already happened. If Jesus is calling you towards something greater, don't look to the past to hold you back. Don't look at what your plans are. Submit to his. Let's keep going. Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Undivided attention is needed. Our past cannot get us into our future. Let that statement sink in. Our past cannot get us into our future. what has happened will not get you to what is going to happen. But when we fully give in and give Jesus control and allow for the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, and that consecration process has begun, and that sanctification process is taking shape and form, and we're becoming more and more like Jesus, and we're beginning to count the cost, I guarantee you that your past will be used to bring glory and honor to God, and it will be used to bring other people closer to Him. I guarantee that. Whenever you're vulnerable of the things that God has pulled you out of, saved you from, God will then use that to help pull others out and save others from those same exact things. I saw it happen again this week in my life. I didn't know it would happen. I didn't know that God would use something that happened to me when I was in early high school. I didn't know. No idea, but the Bible tells us that God will use all things for good for those who love Him. It doesn't say some things. It doesn't say just a little bit. It says all things. And it's in His time, in His plan, His will. Count the cost. Every new level, new devil. New challenges. New time to ante up. You got to put more chips in the middle. You got to pay to play. I can keep going with more and more quotes. I really can. But did you get the point? Count the cost, and I will guarantee you the return on investment is far greater than anything you will ever pay. If you're taking notes, just write down ROI. And then next to it, just put huge. Two U's, one G, three E's. Huge. Emmanuel liked that. He really did. So how do we continue to walk through after we are consecrated, after we have counted the cost? What do? We concede to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, when I was a young kid, I heard this word concede, and I'm from Pittsburgh, so we make words sound exactly the same. There's two different words. There's concede, and there's conceit. But we say them really closely together, so I just thought, like, hey, man, that dude's really conceited. He's cocky, full of himself. And then when I got a little older, I realized there's separate words, like conceited. Like, that man conceded the election. That man gave up. That man waved the white flag. He gave up. What do you need to do to be led by the Holy Spirit? Give up. Concede to Him. Let Him lead. I was at a wedding last night. Chuck and I were together. It was amazing how many people have no idea how to dance. None whatsoever. And it's not their fault. It's just the guys don't know how to lead. The ladies didn't know how to follow. And then they were just a combobulated mess. And we put on the first song that had some rhythm to it. Chuck and I are behind the thing. We're two-stepping, you know? And all it takes, someone to show you to follow, and then to continue to follow the leading. And it becomes easy. When your you're dancing, you just start with a two-step. And then when you get better, you can add in a four-step. You can just go four. And then after that, you just continue to stay on beat. The more submitted you are to the Holy Spirit, His leading will be simple to you. When you're given to Him and you give up all the things that you're carrying and all the stuff, and you receive ye the Holy Spirit, and you're just walking with Him, it will be like the smoothest, most rhythmic dance moves you've ever seen. Beautiful. Not like what we saw last night. They were tripping all over themselves. It was bad. It was bad. Am I right, Chuck? How do we walk in this? We understand what the Holy Spirit's purpose is. Jesus was God in revelation, but the Spirit was God in operation. It's a quote from this book. You know, I'd love to be able on a Sunday morning read you this whole book. A book that changed my life. Because it helped me to take what I received and realize that I could put it into action. But you can get it for the low, low cost of $10 at the Connection Point. This book will change your perspective on what evangelism looks like. It's not just preaching and teaching. It's sitting at coffee shops. It's sitting in people's homes. It is sitting with people in your world, sharing life together and realizing that everything that you've been given is purposeful to give away. Everything. Because Jesus has given you a lot if you've accepted what He's given you on the cross, which is forgiveness from your past. We'll get there. We'll talk about it. But what's He given us? Number one is Holy Spirit. He's given us His peace. He's given us the most amazing gift in being able to walk in His joy. Remember I talked about there's probably some people in here that are chained up. He gave you keys to the kingdom, and keys to freedom. A master set. Anything that's locked up before you or that's locking you up, you have keys to get out. All you have to do is seek ye the Holy Spirit. Last but certainly not least, He gave us the amazing opportunity to walk in His glory and shine bright to bring honor and glory to His name all the days of our lives. All the days of our lives. Once we've received these things, it's a natural next step to outwardly show them. How do we do that? Well, the Great Commission says to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come on, Shay, give it to us. Maybe you haven't outwardly shown what God's done on the inside of you. That you're full of His Holy Spirit. That you're overflowing with His joy. That His peace is evident in your life. That you are walking in His will. And that you want to shine bright. I don't know, that looks like the glory of God right there to me. That doesn't look like faking it until you make it. That looks like joy. We're having baptisms on September 29th here at the White Oak campus and December 31st at the North Browder campus with all of our campuses together. Get signed up. Stand to your feet with me. You know, know, I said all the things that you receive whenever you become someone that's accepted your rightful position as a son or daughter of Jesus. Obviously, the Holy Spirit, obviously, His peace, His joy, the keys. Kingdom shine bright for His glory. All of those things are yours if you received what He did on the cross for you. That means you've repented of your past, you've accepted His forgiveness, and you've called upon Him as Lord. That means leader into your future. If you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've done that, let today be your day, September 15th, 2024, at 11:58 a.m. in White Oak, Pennsylvania. If you don't have that day, that time, or place, just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I've never fully accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I want today to be my day. Maybe you accepted Him, but you ran away from the gift. And you want to re-up your confirmation to Him. Just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, I want to come back home. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Anyone else today? Anyone else? Don't let this moment pass. Father God, we celebrate with the angels in heaven as they rejoice of one coming home today, Lord. God, we thank You. We thank You that we are now rejoicing with heaven for Your presence. May Your peace, Your joy, may the keys be given, Lord. May Your glory shine brightly through Your daughter. In Jesus' glorious name. And everybody said, amen. Our prayer teams are going to start to get into place, and we're going to pray. I said that we're going to do this. We're going to lead right into it, and this is what we've been leading towards. Our prayer teams are going to be in place in the back left corner and along the side here, a little bit different. If you're not receiving prayer, you can continue to worship. But we're going to have prayer. You're going to line up through the center aisles and go towards the back. And then you'll merge into one line. Okay, you're going to go towards the merge point. I know Pittsburgh, it's hard to understand a merge point in Pittsburgh. But we're going to teach you. You go to the merge point, you yield, and you continue to move. You don't stop, you yield. Okay? We'll help you through. If you decide that you want to leave already, you can just sneak past the line and just walk straight through. I understand that we're going to keep an attitude of worship and prayer in here. We're not going to talk. We're not going to get loud or hustle and bustle, okay? But here's the things that we're going to believe for in prayer. Maybe you need a comforter this morning. These are red letter words of Jesus. This is who He is. Maybe you need comforted by the presence of God. We're going to pray for that. Maybe you need a counselor this morning. Maybe you need counseled on something going on in your life. He promises that He is that. Maybe you need just confirmation of something that's been spoken over your life. We'll pray for that. Maybe you need courage or boldness to step out in an area of your life, in an area of your marriage, as a father, as a mother, as a sister, as a brother, as a daughter or a son. I don't know. Maybe you need that. Step out. Get prayer. Maybe you need to understand that you have an advocate sitting at the right hand of the Father pleading your case, because He knows who you are, not just right now, but who you're being made into. Maybe something spoken today convicted you, and you want to lay it down at the foot of the cross, but you need help. You need somebody to come alongside you and encourage you and empower you and equip you to do it. You want to set something aside because you're set apart for the kingdom. maybe you're that person that you just need somebody else to turn the key and see those chains fall. Maybe that's you. We're going to pray and believe for that. Because every single one of those people that are praying back there, they got their keys ready. They're ready. They're key carrying members of the kingdom, and they're ready to pray for chains to fall. And it's going to be simple. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to worship, we're going to line up, and we're going to pray. We're going to see some things fall today. Let's pray, church. I'm not going to be the first one in line. You can start to line up. I'm back here. You were all shaking your head, yes, as I was telling you what to do. But you can begin to line up. And we'll help you through the yielding process and the merging process. Don't worry.